السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So, alhamdulillah, today is the 22nd part of the series, inshallah. And last time we were talking about the fatra of wahi, the pause in revelation. And I mentioned that the pause of revelation occurred how many times? How many times did it occur? Two times. Barakallahu feek. Yes, two times. Okay, so it was in the initial timing after the revelation of Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra, Surah Al-Alaq, and then after that, after some other revelations, it came again for a few days, and that's when Surah Al-Duha was revealed in the second Fatrat Al-Wahi. Okay. Then I talked about how the Prophet ﷺ, he started giving, first his wife Khadija radhiyallahu anha was the first convert, she was the first person to become Muslim, and then Ali radhiyallahu anhu, his cousin who was living with him, he was taking care of his cousin in his house, so as Ali radhiyallahu anhu became Muslim, Zayd ibn Haritha radhiyallahu anhu, who was the adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ, he also became Muslim, and then his close friend Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu became Muslim. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, the Prophet says about his Islam is that I did not give da'wah to anyone except that they had some doubts or they had some questions regarding Islam except for Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. He just said it to him and all of a sudden, automatically he accepted Islam and he became Muslim because he knew of the character. He grew up with the Prophet ﷺ, he was close friends with the Prophet ﷺ. So they grew up together, he knew his in and out, the characteristics. And when he says that I am a Nabi, he said you are a Nabi. And then one of the things we talk about how the Abu Bakr started giving da'wah right away. Even though this is called the private da'wah or the secret da'wah, the reason why it's called secret, you could say, is it's not really secret, but it was not open. It was not open to the public. So that's why it's called secret da'wah or private da'wah. And the Prophet ﷺ basically was talking to his close friends and relatives in his household, for example, and then his close companions. They were the only ones who became, and that's why there was a very limited amount of Muslims at that time. A small amount of Muslims at that time. And this is called the secret da'wah. Now Abu Bakr radhan, when he brought five of the nobles of the Quraysh to become Muslim, they converted to Islam. And I mentioned that all five of them are from the Ashara Mubashara Bil Jannah. All five of them are from the leaders of the Sahaba, of those who the Prophet ﷺ mentioned them by name as being the people of Ahlul Jannah. And one of them notably is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radhiyallahu anhu. Now Sa'd radhiyallahu anhu is actually related to the Prophet ﷺ. One thing about Sa'd radhiyallahu anhu, he was only 17 years old. Okay, so he was only 17 years young. He became Muslim at the age of 17 years old. His father's name is Abu Waqas Malik ibn Uhayb ibn Abd al-Manaf ibn Zuhra. Okay, from Bani Zuhra tribe. And basically so Sa'd radhiyallahu's grandfather, Uhayb, he was the mamu or the paternal uncle of Amina, the mother of Rasulullah. So basically, Sa'd radhiyallahu anhu and Amina, the mother of Rasulullah, they're cousins. Okay? And making the Sa'd radhiyallahu anhu basically an uncle of Rasulullah, even though he was younger in age, he was only 17, but he was an uncle of the Prophet, or you could say cousin of the Prophet. Now, Sa'd radhiyallahu anhu, one of the things that's related that he saw a dream wherein it's a very dark night, and then there's a light that he sees. He starts to follow this light, and he sees that Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Haritha, Ali radhiyallahu anhu, these people have already started on that path in front of him, and then he woke up. So in the next morning, when Abu Bakr came and he started giving them da'wah, he said to him, what is this da'wah, what is this guidance that you are calling towards? What is this light or this guidance that you have adhered to? And Abu Bakr gave him da'wah, he became Muslim right away. Now, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he was known for his obedience to his mother. So this was well known that Sa'd was very obedient to his mother. Now, when he became Muslim, his mother, her name was Hamna. She, Hamna bint Sufyan ibn Umayyah, she, when she learned that her son Sa'd has become Muslim and he's basically left this religion of his forefathers, she became furious and upset, and she flew into a rage, and she said to her son that, I swear, she made an oath. She swore, I will not eat or drink nor take shade until you leave this religion. So she stopped, she went out into the sun. Remember, this is Makkah we're talking about. Makkah Mukarramah, it's hot. Okay, so she's standing outside without any shade under the hot sun in Makkah Mukarramah. And she stopped eating and drinking, okay? And hour after hour, you can imagine she's growing weaker and weaker, getting sick, okay? Heat, you can get, you know, heat stroke and whatnot. So she's getting sick, and Sa'd is going to her over and over again, telling, oh mother, leave this oath and come back inside and drink and eat. And she says, no, I swear I made an oath, I will die before if you do not become Muslim. Meaning, I will die if you do not become Muslim, I'll continue like this until I die. Now Sa'd, he saw this, and he kept on trying to urge his mother, but she wouldn't listen. So he says to his mother that, Oh my mother, oh my beloved mother, if you had 1,000 lives, and one after another departed right in front of me, meaning I watched you die 1,000 times, I would still not leave this religion. And the mother, seeing this, because she knew how much her son loved her, she knew how much her son was obedient to her. So she says, she realized that he was not going to leave this religion, so she broke her oath and she came inside. Now, that's the story of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, the 17-year-old, and you can just imagine that this Islam, this nur of Islam, the hidayat of Islam, entering into these young men and women, and right away they're becoming strong, full of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding them to the truth, and they're not leaving the truth, no matter what. Another of the young people who became Muslim at that time was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu, he was Arab. He was from the Yemeni tribe, but he was living in Mecca, and he was actually living as a shepherd. Okay, so he was Ra'i al-Ghanam, meaning he was a shepherd, and they had a nickname for him. It was like a small shepherd. He was really small in stature. So basically, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So for example, there's a famous hadith where he was a little bit short and he was small in stature and he was really skinny. So one time the Sahaba, this is in Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah asked him to go and get a miswak from one of the trees. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud runs towards that tree and he starts climbing the tree to get a siwak, to get a miswak for the Prophet ﷺ. And the Sahaba start laughing. Now, the reason why they were laughing is that they saw his legs and his shin was so skinny, and they started laughing like, look how skinny he is. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he saw this and he said to them that you're probably laughing because of how skinny he is. And I swear that his shin, his one leg, is heavier than the Mount of Uhud on the Day of Judgment. Meaning this man, is even though he's small in stature, he's so much full of iman and knowledge that he is heavier, his one leg, his shin, is heavier than the Mount of Uhud on the Day of Judgment. And for example, they say that all knowledge leads to Ali radhan and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhan, because they had so much knowledge. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided this young man. Okay, actually, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his conversion, I didn't even mention it yet. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was a shepherd from the Yemeni tribe, and he was living in Mecca, and he was a shepherd. And one day, he's outside the outskirts of Mecca Mukarramah, and this is the early stages of da'wah. When the secret da'wah, you could say, or the private da'wah. So he doesn't even know, he's minding his own business. He doesn't know anything about the Prophet ﷺ or this new message or anything about Islam. He's just doing his job. He's a shepherd. So he's outside. He sees two men approaching, And this was Rasulullah and Abu Bakr Siddiq. So he sees them approaching, and they come up to, this is, remember again, they're outside Makkah, and they come up to the Prophet, they come up to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiallahu anhu, and they say to him that, do you have any sheep that can, do you have any milk for us? Do you have, remember again, they're outside, it's hot, so they wanted something to drink. They ask him, do you have any sheep, do you have any milk for us to drink? And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, remember, he's not even Muslim at this time, and he says that I have sheep that have milk and I can give you, but I am not allowed to give you. And they asked, why not? And he says, because I am not the owner of these sheep. So even he was a young boy and no one's watching. If he gave them a bowl of milk, you know, no one would have noticed. But he was so pious, even this is before Islam, that he refused to give. He said to them, I can't give you any milk because I am not the owner of these sheep. Now this is related, closely related to another incident of Abu Sufyan Thawri, rahimahullah, that one day he was actually working in a garden, and the owner of the garden, his boss basically, called him forward and he said to him, bring me, he had a guest with him, and he says to him, bring me some grapes to eat. So Abu Sufyan, rahimahullah, goes and gets some grapes, brings it forward. And this man, when he eats it, it's sour. So he yells at him. He goes, what are you doing? Go get me some good grapes to eat. So he goes back. He gets some more grapes and comes back. And he gives it to him. And again, he eats it and it's sour again. So he starts admonishing him, yelling at him, like, what are you doing? I told you to get some good grapes. I have a guest in front of me. And you bring these sour grapes. And Abu Sufyan says to him that I was hired by you to take care of your grapes and take care of this farm, and that's, I was not hired to taste your grapes. So how do I know how they taste, or which one's sour and which one's sweet? So you see how much taqwa that they had, and this is after the Prophet ﷺ. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhan, he in the similar way, he says to him, I'm sorry, I can't give you any milk. Rasulullah ﷺ says, okay, do you have any sheep that are of, like, they have not given milk yet, meaning that they're not of age of getting milk? And Abdullah gives him one, and he says to him, okay, here, you know, do whatever you want with this. And Rasulullah ﷺ says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he makes dua, and as he touches the udder of the sheep, it gets full with milk. So this is another miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. He gets full of milk, and he milks that sheep in front of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiallahu anhu. They drink from it, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is watching this in amazement, that how can this happen? And after that, he starts to speak to the Prophet ﷺ, and he actually accepts Islam. Now, one of the things about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he's also famously known as one of the Qurra, one of those famous Qadis of the Sahaba, where his recitation of the Quran was, his voice not only was beautiful, but the tajweed and the rules, how to recite the Quran, he knew it perfectly. He says himself later on that I learned over 70 surahs of the Quran directly from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ would say about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhan, he would say that if someone wants to hear the Quran like it was first revealed, then go and listen to the qira'ah of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhan. Now Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhan, he goes one day, he goes in front of, remember, he's a young boy, he memorizes, they say one of the, maybe it was Surah Rahman, Allah A'lam what surah it was, but he memorized one of the surahs, and he starts to recite the surah in public in Makkah. And he gets beat down for this. Abu Jahl, for example, he comes, and it's written that he came and grabbed him from the ear, and he lifted him up from his ear. Remember, he was a boy. He grabs him and picks him up from his ear so much that he ripped part of his ear off. That's how strong Abu Jahl was, and he was a young boy. He lifts him up and he rips off his ear, part of his ear. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gets a beating for reciting the Quran in public. Now, another of the people who converted was, you guys remember we talked about Hunafa. Anyone remember who was a Hunafa? This is early on, I'm not sure how many sessions it is. Sorry? Waraqa ibn Nawfal. He was one of them, yes. So what is the meaning of Hunafa? Yes?
On the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Barakallahu feek. Okay, good. So they were the Hunafa, were the people who, this is before Islam, before the Quran was revealed, years before the Prophet ﷺ was even a prophet. There was some men amongst Quraysh and even outside of Quraysh that wanted to follow or worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be worshipped. They knew this idol worship, this is not real, this is fake, and this is something that has been brought into Mecca and it's false. So they wanted to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they went out in search for the true religion and the remnants of the religion of the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That was what they were, so they called the Hunafa, from Hanif, because Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Hanif, so they called the Hunafa. So one of those people was Amr ibn Abasa. This was a man from outside Mecca. I'm not sure exactly which area he was from, but this man, he knew the idol worship was false, so he never worshipped the idols, and he had this yearning for the true religion. So he came and he heard about this religion. So he came into Mecca, and this is in the early days of Islam. And he comes and he meets the Prophet ﷺ. He starts asking about Islam, and he says that I want to become Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ tells him at that point that you cannot become Muslim at this point. He says to him basically that you cannot come, but go back to your tribe and come back when you have heard of me overpowering my people. And you have heard of me, like basically. So years later, they say that it was about at least 13, 14, 15 years later, when the Prophet had made Hijrah to Medina Munawwara, Amr ibn Abasa, he comes to the Prophet and he says, Araftani, that do you remember me or do you recognize me? And the Prophet says, yes, I remember you, but I think he didn't remember the name. But he says, I remember you, and you were the one who came to me when I first was commissioned as a prophet. And Amr ibn Abasa then becomes Muslim and he stays in Medina. So you see how the people, they had this longing for the religion, for the true religion, after years of idol worship and stuff had infiltrated and made a mess in Makkah Mukarramah and in the surrounding areas. People wanted the truth and they were thirsty for the truth, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Islam at this time. Another man from the people of the Hunafa is Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu. And Abu Dhar Ghifari, his name was Jundub ibn Junada, radhiyallahu anhu. And I'm not going to go into today. His story is very detailed. There's a long story about his Islam, his conversion, and his life is amazing. There's a lot of things that we can learn from his life. I actually have like a shortened, like a 3-4 hour lecture that I have prepared on his life. It's a detailed one, so we can do that some other time. But Jundub ibn Junada, radhiyallahu anhu, this man. Lived. He was from Banu Ghifar, which is one of the tribes outside of Makkah, Mukarramah. Basically, they were desert dwellers, and they were known for highway robbery. So they were known for stealing from the caravans and attacking, hijacking caravans and attacking them and stealing from them. So this man, he was in his tribe. He was actually one of the leaders of his tribe, and he. Again, he was one of those Hunafa. In his heart, he felt that idol worship is not correct, that this is false, and he wants to learn the true religion and follow the true religion. And that led him, that when he heard about the Prophet ﷺ and that this new religion that has came into. Remember again, it was a secret da'wah, it was a private da'wah, as in it was only to a number, limited number of people, but the people knew about this. The people knew the Prophet ﷺ is giving da'wah. And this, he's calling people to this new religion. But at that point, when they met in Dar al-Nadwa, and they talked, I'm sure they discussed this many times, that what are we going to do about this new religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing this. But they dismissed it as this is something small. He's only just talking, he only has a few followers, and you know, there's nothing to worry about. And Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, he comes into Mecca, and again, over the year, like over the time when the Muslims started growing in number, and this da'wah, you know, the people started learning about it, they didn't do anything physically to the Muslims in the beginning, But they dismissed it as something small, but they did not allow anybody in public. So for example, like I said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he started reciting the Quran in public, he got beaten. So there was an atmosphere of this need to make it secret, to not go out in public and give da'wah in public. So Jundub Abu Dharr Ghifari, he actually sends his brother in to Makkah first to find out what's his new religion. His brother comes back, he doesn't have enough information, or it doesn't satisfy what he wanted. So he himself goes into Makkah. And it's a detailed story, but one of them, for example, is that he stays next to the Kaaba because it's atmosphere of secret da'wah. He stays next to the Kaaba for about 40 days, surviving on Zamzam alone. And he says that he started getting fat because of the Zamzam. So this is one of the things about the miracle of Zamzam and the pureness of Zamzam. But he does that, and eventually he goes and meets the Prophet ﷺ. He becomes Muslim, and he tells the Prophet ﷺ, for example, before he even became Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ actually asked him that, "Where are you from?" He says, "I'm so and so from Bani Ghufar." Rasulullah ﷺ at that point, he's amazed by hearing Bani Ghafar, because they were a backward tribe living in the deserts, and they were just known for highway robbery. So the Prophet ﷺ was surprised at this. And Abu Dharr sees this in the face of the Prophet ﷺ. And Rasulullah ﷺ goes on and tells him, okay, so go back to your tribe, and you can join later. He tells him not to do hijrah, do not come into Makkah, do not do it, but keep your Islam secret. Abu Dharr says to him, that I don't want to keep my Islam secret. If you allow me, I want to go and publicize it in front of everyone. Rasulullah ﷺ tells him that my advice is to keep it secret, but up to you. I'm not going to stop you. Abu Dharr Ghifari goes the next day in public in front of the Kaaba, and he announces to everyone, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." All of a sudden, everyone from all directions, people pounce on him and they start beating him. And they beat him so much, he's on the ground, he's bloody up. And Abbas, Radhan, the uncle of the Prophet, who was not Muslim at that time, Abbas, Radhan, he sees Abu Dharr and he recognizes him. And he comes and he jumps on top of him and he takes some of the blows to protect this man from being beaten. And he yells out to his people. He said, "Stop, are you guys crazy? Do you know who this man is? He's one of the leaders of Bani Ghifar. If you guys hurt him or kill him, then none of your caravans will be safe." So then they leave, they all leave him alone. Abu Dharr Ghifari goes back and he tends to his wounds. And the next day he goes out again and he publicizes Islam again. He takes another beating. Same thing, Abbas. Maybe he was close by watching to make sure that this man doesn't get in trouble again. He goes and protects him again. Third day again. 3 days in a row, Abu Dharr gets a beating for the sake of Islam, because he publicizes Islam. And then after that, he goes back to his people and he starts giving da'wah to his people. So these are some of the examples of the early da'wah. There's many more, inshallah. We can talk about some more next week, inshallah. And again, this is the early da'wah, where the Prophet ﷺ was keeping it private. He was only talking to a handful of people, and there was a very limited amount of people converting to Islam at that time. So inshallah, we'll continue on next week, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.